Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
All them dogs are counting down, about to put the anchor down.
Thanks, Coach Stack. You know what? College basketball is just around the corner. I saw Rick Barnes doing some work with the media yesterday in Knoxville. It's hard to believe college basketball is creeping up on us here very soon. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Our next guest, weekly chat with him this time every Thursday. Paul Feinbaum on the line with us, ESPN and SEC Network. And Paul is brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Paul, good morning. How you doing?
We're doing great. How's everybody there?
Sunny day in Nashville, no complaints. And the Titans are going to play, so no COVID issues. I mean, everything's good.
It is, you know, college football finally got a pretty good dose of COVID last week, and let's hope it's over, at least for a few weeks.
Yep, and the Big Ten will get back. They're going to start their play up, and it all begins tomorrow night. Let's just actually start there a little bit out of the conference real quick. How do you think with the Pac-12 looming and the Big Ten about to crank up tomorrow night, starting with Wisconsin and Illinois and then the full slate on Saturday, how do you think it's going to look starting in late October?
I think it's going to be okay. I think we'll see a little bit of what we saw early in the SEC and then with everybody else, that the defenses and special teams are going to be behind. I think what really everyone wants to see is simply how good is Ohio State? Are they a contender? And I bring that up because in trying to come up with, the best teams in the country, which we can now legitimately do, there is an amazing drop-off after Alabama and Clemson.
True.
And I know that it's kind of ridiculous to jump too far ahead, but that's what we do. And you're hoping Ohio State is that team, because right now, I'm telling you, Georgia is clearly not there yet. They may come back later in the year, but it is quite a drop off, and it's almost impossible to find a number three team right now.
That is a great point.
Without looking at Ohio State,
it really is. It's a great point. I mean, if you had to today, and leaving the Big Ten and the Pac-12 out of it, because like you said, the unknown. Yeah, Ohio State looks really pretty on paper, but let's see how it plays out. But today, if you could only choose from the body of work that's in front of you, I mean, who is three? Who is four in the country?
Yeah, I'd probably still put Georgia in there.
Okay.
And after that, I was doing a top four for ESPN the other day, Sunday morning, and I literally couldn't come up with one. I threw BYU in just for fun. Because Notre Dame had just come off of a 12-7 win. But I think it's probably Notre Dame. They were hit with COVID issues for a couple of weeks, and you could tell it has affected them the last 2 weeks. But, you're hoping, I'm pretty sure it is going to be Ohio State. And then, is Oregon or Southern Cal in contention? And they, again, they have no room for error out there. Same with the Big Ten with no bye weeks. I mean, Texas A&M is pretty good, but I'm not ready to put them that high. And their schedule is still, pretty much in front of them other than Alabama and Florida. Florida, I think, could have been in that list. But you talk about a school that is, the after effects of COVID, could be pronounced. They have not had a practice since they left for Texas A&M 2 weeks ago. They won't get back into their football facility until Monday. And we have no idea what they're going to look like. I mean, you saw that off and on with the Titans. It didn't seem to have that much effect on them, but they weren't as down as much as Florida will be. And you take a college football team off the rails for 2 weeks, and then maybe a number of players even longer than that. You have serious problems.
I don't think we'll hear Dan Mullen talking about packing the swamp anytime soon. Probably not for a while.
No, I've never seen anyone whose words have come back to bite more than his.
Mm. What is your assessment right now of the school you once attended? How do you explain getting mopped by Kentucky on Saturday and Jared Garantano's play? I mean, you know, everyone expects them to lose this Saturday to Bama. That's going to be three losses in a row. And they seem like they're going the wrong way, Paul. What do you make of the Vols to this point?
You can't explain it. And I felt like the publicity and the promotion and the hype surrounding that program with the winning streak was overdone, because in that winning streak, Tennessee had not beaten anyone that was a high-quality team. And, you know, they struggled against South Carolina. You saw the second half against Georgia, and then, you know, Kentucky took them apart. And what concerns me the most is just the stewardship of Jeremy Pruitt, you know, firing a coach after the game, during the game. I don't know when he did, but, you know, the defensive line didn't seem to be the biggest issue during that game. It seemed like it was the offensive line and the quarterback play. Mm-hmm. And I always hate to use the cliche, well, obviously the coaches know more than we do, and that's why Garantano is still in there. I've seen many times when the coaches don't know more, based on their decision making, and yeah, you know, if he's the best Tennessee has, then it's going to be a sad season, because he's clearly not very good, and you know, putting another guy in and making a mistake and immediately yanking him out, it's not really the answer. I think this is a game that you don't expect Tennessee to win. It would almost be considered a victory if they covered the spread. And as a Tennessee graduate, and as someone who spent most of my life in Alabama, that's a pretty embarrassing statement to make.
Mm. Yeah, by the way, your best case or best example I can think of, just right off the top of my head to your point, is probably the Butch Jones era. And we used to talk about it, Paul, like every single week until finally the whole Jalen Hurd thing blew up and then they had no choice. But it was like, why aren't they playing this Alvin Kamara guy? Like every time he touches the ball – he's crazy dynamic, and he gets like 3 and 4 touches a game. That may have been a prime example of coach didn't know. You know, why wasn't he playing him?
I still think Jeremy Pruitt is a very sound football coach, a good recruiter, a good evaluator, but he's yet to prove anything as a head football coach, and that's what he is right now. And, you know, not only is he making $4 million a year, Philip Fulmer just gave him an extension.
Mm-hmm.
Paul Finebaum is with us. And on that, Paul, I think we all were puzzled. Take away the circumstances of 2020, but it seemed an odd time to give him an extension at the time. It didn't seem like there was pressure of losing him, and he still hadn't done so much that you feel like, boy, we really need to extend him. So that looks even more puzzling now, especially after the loss on Saturday. And, I mean, Philip Fulmer's been around long enough to know, it would seem. You know, then you put the thing on top of it, the 2020 pandemic, where very few people, I don't know if I know anybody who's gotten a raise. It just didn't seem a good look at the time.
No, and I mean, the only thing I can think of is that someone came to Philip and said, listen, recruiting is in December, and let's make sure that we, in case something goes haywire this year, let's make sure we're protecting and enhancing everything connected to Pruitt. And other than that, it makes no sense. It doesn't make any sense, period. But college, I'm not coming down on Fulmer, but college athletic directors right now just, they spend money that's not theirs, and it's not like they really seem to care about it. I mean, if you were running a family business, you wouldn't do that. If that was a public company, you wouldn't do that. But you know, it seems like, okay, let's give him a raise. Who cares? He's in the midst of a big winning streak. Let's hype it up. And I'm sure that's what he did, but it looks really bad now. And depending on how the rest of the season goes, it could look disastrous.
I know you had a discussion recently with Greg McElroy, who's a great person to ask, because he's been in those shoes, being the quarterback for Alabama. I'm really curious about Mac Jones, who waited his turn. Of course, he had a chance to jump in there last year, and he had a couple of bad plays that cost him in that Auburn game. But I'm wondering now is, you know, he's kind of held his mud together and he's had some success. Does he have that special ingredient that Alabama needs to take them all the way?
Yeah, I mean, McElroy seems to think he does. I mean, it's gotten so crazy that I was asked by somebody this week, do I think he's a better quarterback than Trevor Lawrence? The answer is no. But the fact that the question was asked shows you how great Mac Jones has played. And during that Auburn game, he threw two pick sixes. One of them was not his fault. I mean, it literally bounced off a receiver's hands on the goal line, and the Auburn defender took it back nearly 100 yards. And, yeah, I don't think too many people saw it a year out. Bryce Young, who was the top quarterback in high school last year from California, was supposed to have the job already. And now you've got a situation where, you know, he's nowhere close to getting on the field. And I knew Mac was having a great summer. I mean, everyone that saw him practice was raving about it. In fairness, he's got a NFL group around him. I mean, he's got three or four receivers that are out of this world, two in particular. He's got an All-American running back. That helps. He also has a really good line. But even having said all that, I know some quarterbacks in this league that could screw that up, and we were just talking about one of them a minute ago.
We're talking to Paul Feinbaum from the SEC Network and ESPN, brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. And so staying on the quarterback theme, Bo Nix with Auburn. Auburn has struggled, but I look at Bo Nix and, you know, the numbers are he's getting hit a lot, and Auburn coming off that loss to South Carolina, going to have another tough test this weekend with a high-octane offense in Ole Miss. So what do you think is going on with Auburn right now?
Yeah, they're in trouble, and this is the season for them, because if they lose to Ole Miss, you know, they may lose Malzahn, they lose the entire team. I think it's that fragile. And don't forget, and I know it doesn't matter to in the standings, but Arkansas beat Auburn too. It just didn't count. Yeah. The referees made an egregious mistake at the end of the game. And you know, Nick's, you know, Gus tried to change things up. He brought in Chad Morris, who now looks, you know, like he is in the, you know, with what Sam Pittman has done at Arkansas, he looks like he's in serious contention now for the worst coach in SEC history. And he tried to open it up with Bo Nix, and it's not working. I mean, Bo Nix's only play is run for his life. And it was a pretty effective play the other day against South Carolina, but you know, the result was the same. So, I mean, if Ole Miss didn't have some COVID issues on the defensive side of the ball, I might think that they were a cinch to win this game. But that could mitigate their momentum. But it's still critical.
I feel like almost every year, though, we're talking about, you know, the, however you want to put it, the Gus bus being parked, Malzahn, you know, he's on the hot seat. This is it. He's not going to survive this one. Do you think that this year is any different, or is this actually his seat is getting warm, and if this continues, they're just going to have to move on?
No, because you already said it a minute ago. They would owe him $21 million. And there's some fat cats that follow Auburn football, but I don't know anyone who wants to write a check like that right now. And the only way that it would work if it got so bad is that they would just pay Malzahn off and then elevate Kevin Steele, who is well thought of as a defensive coach, but certainly has no resume as he was a finalist for the job at Tennessee, if you remember, a couple years ago when Pruitt got it. They don't have enough money to fire Malzahn and then go out and bring in another coach. Although I talked to Hugh Freeze yesterday at Liberty, who just beat Syracuse, and you know, he's somebody that could energize a program in spite of all the baggage, but it would still cost money. And I don't think you're going to see any changes in the SEC this year unless things are just so bad. And I mean by that, Auburn would pretty much have to lose the rest of the games.
Do you think you said you talked to Hugh Freeze. Do you think he's back in the SEC within the next couple of years?
I do. And I Yeah, we all followed it the same way 3 years ago when he got fired. It was pretty. It was incredibly embarrassing to say the least. But he is, you know, he took his penalty. Yeah, he couldn't coach in the SEC for 2 years, even as a coordinator, and he was offered jobs from Alabama on down. And you know, he went someplace and did what you have to do. You have to win a big game, and I'm not saying Syracuse is like beating Alabama, but it counts. It's an ACC school, and he got a lot of attention from that. And you know, he could name his price as a coordinator right now with $2 million contracts going to offensive coordinators. He could go there. Although I think he wants to be a head coach, but he will be. I think he'll be pretty seriously in demand.
Interesting as always, Paul. Really appreciate the visit. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Guys, it's always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, that is Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. We'll come back, talk a little college football. We've got silly underdogs at high noon. Floyd Reese coming up to start the second hour. We'll get into heavy Titans and Steelers in the second hour of the program. Silly underdogs at noon. Looking forward to reviewing and picking our new selections. Did not have a good week. We'll review.
Not looking forward to the review.
Yeah, well, it's going to be pretty easy for everybody. Everybody's got to bounce back, that's for sure.
Looking forward to new picks.
Mm-hmm. And then the final hour, we'll go to Pittsburgh and learn a little bit more about this Steelers team that's coming to town. More of Darren, Donick, and Chase next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.